Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. You are joining thousands of other learners and listeners on this remarkable journey. If you are just joining Nachyomi now, this is an opportunity to get an overview of Sefer Yehoshua so you can continue on to the current Sefer. Together, we are going to explore the meaningful messages of Sefer Yehoshua, note significant events, meet remarkable people, and most importantly, gain a greater appreciation for the first Sefer in Nach. Sefer Yehoshua is unique. The Gemara in Nedarim Chaf Beis Amud Beis teaches that if it were not for Bnei Israel's sins, it would have been the only other Sefer given to the Jewish people beyond the five books of the Torah. This Sefer is the fulfillment of the divine promise to our forefathers to give the land of Canaan to their children. The book of Yehoshua is the actualization of the Torah laws that were taught by Moshe in the desert. Up until now, these laws were theoretical, but once the people entered the land of Israel, the 613 mitzvot could be observed and the Torah is lived as it was designed. Our Sefer opens with our nation's first transition of leadership, from Moshe to Yehoshua. The people knew of his devotion and steadfastness to Moshe, and thus his appointment as Moshe's successor was the natural next step. He was chosen by Hashem to lead the people into the land of Israel, to conquer the land and divide it among the Shvatim. Yehoshua is also known as the author of the Tefillah of Aleinu and the second paragraph of Birkas Hamazon, both prayers echoing the love of the land and the uniqueness of our people. The transition is not Yehoshua's alone. His journey mirrors the journey of the Jewish people as they enter into a new reality. They are now leaving behind the simple desert life of the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, and Mun, to conquer and settle the land. This nation is not comprised of those who left Egypt, but rather their children. They have grown up watching Yehoshua and Moshe interact together. They know him and he knows them. It is this remarkable group who merits to enter the land of Israel with open miracles. For a very brief overview, in Perek Aleph through He, 1-5, we are introduced to Yehoshua in his new role and the challenges he faces as they enter the land of Israel. Perek Vav through Yud Beis, 6-12, explores the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, first the capture of Yericho, and it concludes with the list of the conquered Canaanite kings. In Prakim Yugimel through Chaf Aleph, 13-21, we learn about the distribution of the conquered territories with the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge, and the cities of the Levium listed at the conclusion of this section. Finally, Prakim Chaf Beis through Chaf Dalet, 22-24, we follow the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh as they return to the eastern side of the Yarden River, having fulfilled their commitment to conquer the land of Israel. The life and book of Yehoshua closes with two addresses to the people of Israel, exhorting them to follow the ways of Hashem so they succeed in this new land. I invite you to continue listening for a more expanded overview or review of Yehoshua. Sefer Yehoshua opens with an introduction to Yehoshua and his new role and the challenges he faces as they enter the land of Israel. As he prepares to lead the people into Eretz Yisrael, he secretly sends spies who report only to him. These spies are trusted men, Kalev and Pinchas, figures who we have met before and who we will meet again in this Sefer. The spies return with a confident message that Hashem has given the land in our hands and the people of the land have melted. The nation crosses the Yarden with the Aron leading the way and the waters parting when the Kohanim step in. The river miraculously splits with one half growing taller and taller, a pillar rising to the sky so high as the nation crossed. When the nation finished crossing, the Kohanim stepped back to the Transjordan side, the water returned, and then miraculously the Aron with the Kohanim were transported to the west side of the Yarden. The people recommit themselves as they enter the land with circumcision and the Karban Pesach. The supply of man from the desert ended, and the people begin to eat from the produce of the land, moving from the miraculous to the mundane. In this first section of the Sefer, in Prakim Aleph Tehei 1-5, there is a remarkable transition on so many dimensions: leadership, people, and land. We continue with Prakim Vav through Yud Beis 6-12, where we witness the conquering of the land. The conquest of Eretz Yisrael begins first with the capture of Yericho, then Ai, Givon, and concludes with the list of the conquered Canaanite kings. Yericho was captured in silence, the nation marching around the city day after day, until day 7, when they encircled the city 7 times, blowing the shofros and crying out. The walls of Yericho sink into the ground, and Bnei Israel invade the city and conquer it. Yoshua directs the rescue of Rachav and all in her house. We learn later from the Medrash that Yoshua marries Rachav. Finally, he enacts a ban on the spoils of Yericho. The people then go from an exuberant triumph of the miracle of Yericho to the crushing loss of the Battle of Ai as a result of one person taking from the spoils. The lottery pinpoints Achan from Shevet Yehuda as the perpetrator of the crime, and he is stoned to death as a means of atonement for the people. While he was the only one who sinned, the nation must collectively bear the responsibility as they transition into a new land as a unified people. The people return to the city of Ai to bravely face their enemy and confront the trauma of loss. This time, they win decisively. They rededicate themselves at Har Eval, learning from their mistakes and recognizing the primacy of Hashem's commandments. Having heard of the Bnei Israel's military success, the Givonim, who were inhabitants of the land that Bnei Israel were supposed to conquer, resort to trickery in order to avoid destruction. They disguise themselves as travelers from a faraway land who want to make a treaty with them. Without consulting the Aron, they form a treaty. Once their ruse is revealed, Yoshua honors the commitment and designates the Givonim as water carriers and wood choppers. When Givon was attacked, Yoshua comes to the city's defense and stops the sun in the sky to assure the complete victory. Shemesh beGivon Dom. After the remarkable southern conquest, starting with the rescue of the city of Givon, Yoshua continues to obliterate city after city with the hand of Hashem directing every victory. The northern kings, led by Yavin, the king of Chatzor, come out in an all-out massive attack against the Jewish nation. And in city after city, Yoshua obliterates the inhabitants, with no one remaining. It's hard to hear about what sounds like indiscriminate killing of a native population. It's important to recognize that this directive is directly related to the spiritual risk of allowing idol worship and morally compromised nations to inhabit the Holy Land of Israel. Finally, in anticipation of the division of the land, the history of conquest is recounted, starting from the battles led by Moshe. It is valuable for the people to reflect on the gift they were given before each Shevet receives its designated land. In the second part of Yoshua, we witness the transition through the battles, moving from the open miracles to the subtle miracles, but miracles nonetheless. Conquest takes stamina, fortitude, faith, and conviction. Yoshua, with the direction of Hashem and support of the people, triumphs in battle, defeating the 31 kings. In the third section, Prakim Yud Gimel through Chaf Aleph, 13-21, we read about the Chiluk Haaretz, the apportioning and distribution of the land of Israel. The tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh receive their portions as designated by Moshe on the east side of the Yarden. Once we recount the east side designations, we move on to the distribution of the land on the west side of the Yarden River. Using the Gorol, the lottery system, the land is divided among the Shvatim. Elazar HaKohen wore the Urim V'Tumim, and Yoshua and all the Jewish people stood before him. There was one lottery receptacle containing the names of the Shvatim, and another one containing the names of the boundaries of the 12 different regions of Eretz Yisrael. Elazar would ascertain the assignments of the land with Ruach HaKodesh and announce, in accordance with the notification of the Urim V'Tumim, the name of the Shevet and the region. After stating this, he would mix up the lots in the receptacle of the Shvatim, and that designated shevet would emerge in his hand. He would then mix up the lots of the designated areas, and the territory he had just stated would emerge in his hand. And so he would proceed for each and every shevet. He would announce the shevet and location and draw those exact lots from their respective receptacle. Yehuda was the first shevet to receive land, acknowledging his leadership role among the Shvatim. The Prakim highlight both the national view of the cities and borders as well as the personal narrative of key figures who demonstrate a love for the land. These figures model for us commitment, conviction, and sacrifice. Kalev, who 45 years earlier was promised the city of Hebron for remaining steadfast and faithful in spite of the panic that the other spies instilled. We also hear about Achsa, Kalev's daughter, who marries Asniel ben Kenaz, who later succeeds Yehoshua as the first shofet. She asks her father for another field with springs, as her land was dry. Kalev responds by not only giving her what she asked, but far exceeding her request by giving her the upper and lower springs. The land allotment is systematic. After Yehuda, the next shevet to receive their land is Yosef. Yosef, as like his brother Yehuda, demonstrated leadership qualities, and therefore he received his portion next. We've been privy to the ambition of these two tribes from when they were living in the home of Yaakov. Yosef's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, are counted as two tribes, and they received their portions accordingly. The Benos Tzlafchat step forward. They are audacious in the desert, approaching Moshe after their father died, with their heartfelt request to have a portion in the land. With wisdom and modesty, they demonstrated tremendous chibas haaretz, love for the land, and Yehoshua grants them their request. After Yehuda and Yosef, the land division of the remaining seven Shvatim begins with Binyamin, as it is ultimately his territory, which will house the Shechina. Note that Levi does not receive a portion, as his portion is Hashem's domain. Binyamin, in between Yosef and Yehuda, could also serve as a buffer between two Shvatim who vied for the leadership role. It is in his territory that the Beis HaMikdash would be found, the unifier of our people. The Chiluk HaAretz continues with the next six Shvatim, Shimon, Zevulun, Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. Each Shevet received a portion that related to the brachos of Yaakov and Moshe, the land that would allow them to fulfill their unique mission. After the land is distributed, national infrastructure is critical. The six Arei Miklat, cities of refuge, were designated, as well as cities for the Kohanim and Levium, which would also serve as cities of refuge, cities for the holy and unholy. It would be in these spaces, these godly spaces, that those rejected from society would find their place, in Hashem's space. The book of Yehoshua concludes in Prakim Chaf Beis to Chaf Dalet 22-24, with the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh returning to the eastern side of the Yarden River, having fulfilled their commitment to conquer the land of Israel. These Shvatim demonstrated the mutual responsibility and loyalty, fighting for the Bnei Israel and remaining present during the division of the land, a total of 14 years. Upon departure, the two and a half Shvatim build a Mizbeach so that they will not be forgotten or rejected by the rest of the people who are on the west side of the Yarden. A civil war almost erupts when the west side Shvatim assume, incorrectly, that the Mizbeach is for Avodah Zarah. Pinchas, who we met earlier, accompanies the people on a fact-finding mission to understand the purpose of the Mizbeach, and through dialogue, all is resolved. The life and book of Yehoshua close with two addresses to the people of Israel, exhorting them to follow the ways of Hashem so they succeed in this new land. The Sefer covers transition, revisiting national traumas such as the spies, inter-Shevet relationships, and the conquering and conquest of the land in an effort to establish a divinely designated national home. We are able to watch the development of a nation and its leader as they embark on a new step of our national journey. You can find a more detailed perek by perek exploration of Sefer Yehoshua on the Torah Imecha app or at outorah.org/series/4046. I wish you continued hatzlacha with your learning, and may the messages of each sefer impact and inspire and be a source of merit for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael during these trying times. May the learning of this sefer and the next 18 Sfarim of Nach be a schus, a merit, for those brutally murdered on Simchas Torah, October 7th, 2023, and in its bloody aftermath. And may we see the true redemption and fulfillment of the sacred Nevuos speedily in our day. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmot, Imotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Alea Shalom, and Sarah Shanker, Alea Shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.